Here is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church, written of in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. God was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The reading of God's Word today is from 1 Peter, in the first chapter, verses 18 through 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. May the Lord indeed add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Here at Daleville Christian Church, I remind you, we want you to be connected. We want you to be connected to Jesus Christ. And a part of that connection is being connected to Jesus' church. Worship is a connection. It's a personal connection to the Lord. It's a personal connection to the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. Connection. And it's three ways, three levels. Get connected. Today, I hope to share some good examples of those connections, how they benefit you, how they make life better, your life, everyone else's life better because of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to talk about happiness, sort of. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus, definitely. And today, we're going to talk about life, yes, and talk about your life, how your life is better because of Jesus. When people are asked today what they want in life or what they want out of life, many of them will say, and still say, that they want to be happy. And even when people list something other than happiness, come to find out that whatever it is that they list that they want out of life, like money or wealth or a good job, behind that list is the idea that those things will make them happy. I've already talked to you about unhappy places in this country. Some of those unhappy cities are in Indiana. But that's only further proof that people generally have as a goal in life the desire to be happy. This is now a bona fide field of study. It's interesting stuff, but I'm not covering all that with you today. The reason I'm not covering that topic with you this morning is because defining happiness is pretty tricky business. One scholar and author even argues that human beings are such that they can never be happy because what they say will make them happy changes all the time. What is more important for us is that the word happy, as we know it, is not really a Bible word. The Bible uses four other words rather than any word translated as happy or happiness. Blessed, or using an old pronunciation, blessed, is a word that's used instead of the word happy. Jesus said, blessed are they, blessed are those. Blessed is one word the Bible uses. Contentment is another word the Bible uses. The Apostle Paul tells the church he has learned how to be content. And when you think about the life of the Apostle Paul, that's saying something. A man who suffered so greatly for his faith and his life of service to Jesus Christ tells the church he has learned how to be content. Another Bible word is the word peace. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." The Bible also uses the word joy. So happy or happiness? The Bible speaks much more of blessedness, contentment, peace, and joy. These qualities belong to the new life that you have been given through Jesus. Today's verse from the Word of God, you were redeemed from the empty way of life. You were snatched away from the empty life by the precious blood of Christ. Through Him, you believe in God who raised Him from the dead. So your faith and your hope are in God. I remind you that when we're looking at letters in the Bible, and Peter's book here, the first one, 1 Peter is a letter. When we're looking at letters generally, and certainly at this letter, it's like any phone conversation you hear in the store or in the car or in a parking lot. You're only hearing half of the conversation. So 1 Peter is half of a conversation. Now the letter contains the whole truth, but it's only half the conversation. So we don't know a lot about why the apostle says what he says, and we don't know the situation the apostle is speaking to. So Bible scholars have spent plenty of ink on who the apostle is talking to and why. One scholar even suggested the whole letter is taken from a baptismal service. Who cares? Well, I remind you that paper was expensive 2,000 years ago. You tried to say what you needed to say. You didn't try to get flowery or worry about style. We have here a tight statement about what is true. We have a tight statement about what we believe. We have a tight statement about why what is true is important, why what we believe is important, and why what is true for the way we live out our lives as followers of Jesus. We at Daleville Christian Church have used three phrases from this very letter in our affirmations of faith week after week after week. One scholar has called 1 Peter one of the finest and clearest examples of New Testament teaching. The apostle begins this letter in verse 3, the first chapter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through Jesus Christ. So let's notice the obvious. We can't do this. We can't create a new life for ourselves. We can't make a life full of blessedness or joy or contentment or peace. It is not within our power to make a life for ourselves that will provide those things, but our Heavenly Father gave them to us freely through Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. In His great mercy, He has given us new life. You were snatched away from an empty life by the precious blood of Christ. We didn't give ourselves a new way of life. We can't give ourselves a new way of life. But don't worry, God has given us a new birth, a new life. We are a new way to be human. I'm a new way to be Gary McManus. God provided that. It was free to me, but it cost Jesus' blood. God changed the game plan. My old way of life, which was empty, was given over for a new life. And the apostle reminded us, no amount of money could buy your way out of that empty old life. Only God through Christ and Jesus' own blood could get us out of that empty way of life. So for you and me, since God changed the game plan, the goals are different. Happiness isn't what we are after, but peace, contentment, joy, and blessedness. Our hope is in God, not in things. Christians are interested in what is imperishable. We are no longer interested in what is perishable. We live in the world, but this world is not our goal, and this world is not our hope. This new life of blessedness is found in a true and real example written up in this week's newspaper regarding a young boy, Elijah, 7 years old. He was playing at recess at school. He climbed the very top of the curly slide. A bully, 2 years older, snuck behind Elijah and pushed him off the ladder, and Elijah landed hard on his side. He was still for a moment. When he tried to get up, realized his arm began to really hurt, and Elijah started to cry. When the bully saw Elijah's tears, the bully laughed at Elijah. Elijah had a good friend named Kai. And at that moment, Kai rushed to Elijah's side. Seeing that Elijah was hurt, Kai said, "I'm going to get that bully for doing this," and went to get to the slide's ladder. But Elijah stopped him and said, "No, Kai, you mustn't do that." Elijah added, "I learned at church that Jesus said we must turn the other cheek when somebody does something bad. My teacher said that we must live by the golden rule and not pay back when someone is mean." Kai respected Elijah and did not go after the bully, but stayed with Elijah and helped him. Elijah did sustain 2 small fractures in the bones of his right arm. His arm is now in a cast. Friends, talk about the faith of a child. This is the new life made possible by Jesus Christ. You and I don't have to retaliate. Retaliation is not our hope. God is our hope. Blessedness does not come with retaliation. Blessedness comes with love. Contentment does not come with retaliation. Peace does not come with retaliation. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed." And further in the same chapter 3, verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. To this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." This is what new life brings. This is what being God's child means. We weren't born children of God. We were made children of God through the work of Jesus. Jesus arranged our adoption. Jesus made our adoption possible. We didn't make our adoption by God happen. Jesus did. Without Jesus, we aren't God's children. So when you are adopted by God, you live a new life. You live a new life because you can now live a new life. You live a new life because living a new life is better than the old life. You can live a new life because living the new life is better than retribution. Living the new life is better than revenge. Living the new life is better than an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. I shouldn't have to prove that to you. You have been called out from that darkness. You've been called away from the darkness. This is what we read in God's Word. Instead of disrespecting anyone, even those who may not be worthy of your respect, you can do the things that make for peace. Chapter 2 of Peter's first letter, "Rid yourselves of malice and slander of every kind. Grow up into your salvation." 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you'd not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy." You're God's people now. Jesus made that happen. You know the word "live" shows up 10 times in this letter? 1 Peter 2:12, "Live such good lives among the pagans that they accuse you, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Live such good lives. 1 Peter 2:16, live as God's slaves. 1 Peter 4:2, they do not live the rest of their early lives for evil, but rather for the will of God. Live according to God in regard to the Spirit, also in 1 Peter 4. How can you live like that? Because you can live like that, because of Jesus Christ. Here's another example. Christian parents. Two Christian parents who lost last year their 15-year-old son, lost him to cancer. I don't have all the details, but it must have been a very quick cancer because their son was a football player at his high school. Naturally, the mother became depressed. Depression runs in her family. She'd been diagnosed with depression 25 years earlier when she was just 18, before she was married, before she had children, before she had a full-time job. So the death of her son brought the depression down on her full bore. Hear her words. I can tell you my faith sustains me during my depression, but it doesn't get me out of bed some days. And you know what? That's okay, because God loves me for who I am, and he hears my every prayer and catches every tear. He definitely gave me the amount of grace, mercy, and strength I needed and still need to go through the 4 months of my son Trey's illness. And here's how she talks about the new life she's been given in Christ. Because she's painfully aware of the hurt in her church, other people's illnesses, other people's children's illnesses, this woman wrote last month, love instead of hurt. I can do that. I can't replace my hurt, but I can love more. But love sometimes has to be action. Okay? She goes on, love most always has to be an action. This woman is living a new life in Christ. She is being given hope. She has experienced peace. She is learning contentment, and someday she will again know joy. She has been called out of darkness. She's still being called to walk in the Lord's marvelous light. This is life in Christ. Live as God's people. Live this new life, won for you in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.